Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Betty, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
That's good!
How do you feel about that, Josh? How do you feel about that?
It wasn't good. Hi, but... I like this. Hi, Josh and Rob. In brackets, it's never written that way around, is it? No.
No.
This is my daughter, Betty, who's 25 months old. In brackets, let's be honest, she's two. Keep it sexy and relatable. Martha in Ealing.
Martha in Ealing. What's Ealing like?
I spent the first 6 months of my life in Ealing.
Did you? Oh, maybe that's why she likes you more than me. Went for the Josh, Rob. How do you feel about it? It's Rob Beckett and Josh Widdicombe's Parenting Hill.
Fine.
Yeah. A shorter name goes first anyway, doesn't it? Is that how it works?
Isn't it alphabetical normally? I don't know. Lennon and McCartney. yeah. But...
Are you all right, mate?
Hi.
You seem sad.
Oh, do you know what happened yesterday? You'll enjoy
What's
this.
That? Go on.
You know my cat that every 3 months has to go to the vet to have her...
Gallstones, is it? Bladder stone?
It's like her liver or whatever it is. Kidneys. Kidneys. Kind of flushed.
Oh, yes. Kidney flush. That's the one.
Yeah. So... Rose had to go out. It was 11 a.m. that I was doing it, and so I had to.
You were doing the flushing.
No, I
do
was
you
taking the cat.
Your own cat's kidneys.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, and no, I had to take the cat to the vet for 11:15.
Okay, sorry.
We couldn't put. Rose was going out at 9, taking the kids to nursery and play scheme. So I was basically left with the cat locked in the house. Did some work upstairs. Yeah. The cleaner was here. And then told her she couldn't go in the bedroom because the cat was locked in the bedroom, but we couldn't just put her in the cat.
Why is the cat locked in the bed? Oh, because you don't want her to go out and not find her. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. Anyway, go into the bedroom, and somehow the cat isn't in the bedroom with the door closed, like a kind of Jonathan Creek-style mystery, right? And I'm saying to Rose... I don't know what's, you know, we've locked the door. Basically, like Rose and me have...
Is Rose back at this point?
No, I'm phoning her up.
I love the fact you always ring Rose.
Well, because it's her cat.
I know it's her cat, Josh.
I was like, where's the cat? Yeah, but you locked it in the bedroom. She's locked nothing in the bed. What Rose has done is she's just locked nothing in the bedroom.
Right, okay, so she told you she's locked the cat in the bedroom.
Yeah.
I just thought you rung someone who's not in the house to ask where the cat is. Okay.
The cat's a write-off. Going to have to go downstairs. I'm going to have to phone the vet.
So the cat, she didn't actually lock the cat. She thought the cat was in the bedroom, but it wasn't.
Yeah, she just locked nothing in the bedroom.
No,
all she did
she
was...
Locked nothing.
All she did was made sure the cat couldn't go in the bedroom. That was all
where
she did.
Where you wanted the cat to be.
Yeah, exactly. bear in mind, like, I'd opened the bedroom door, like, creaked it open so the cat didn't jump out as I got in, all that kind of stuff.
And sliding in sideways.
Yeah.
All that
shit. Go downstairs. The cat's in the fucking kitchen. Couldn't believe my luck. There's a second chance at this. Yeah. First thing I do, block the cat flap. So
sure. Good
now
work.
We're in the house. Now we've narrowed it down to the house.
Yeah.
We've got 5 minutes till the cat needs to be in the car.
Right.
Basically, I'm chasing the cat around the... the bottom floor of our house, right? The kids, which is like the kitchen and the sitting room.
Have you shut it? Is there a door to the stairs that you can shut?
I've blocked those off. Yeah, I've blocked
those off.
So
that's good. You're slowly closing the perimeter.
Slowly closing it down.
Feels a bit like, you know, when like lockdown ended.
Yeah.
And you could slowly start doing more things. You could sort
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, but I couldn't one on one with the cat. It was. There were too many hiding places. It was outfoxing me.
Too many knickknacks, mate.
There was too many knickknacks under the sofa. If a cat's under a sofa, you just can't get it out.
Stick.
Yeah, but it'll go one way, you know.
Not hit the cat, but you hit the stick on the floor and it scares it out.
Yeah, but then it goes one way, you go the other. It was just going under the kitchen table. It was
a game of cat and mouse.
It was a game of cat and mouse, yeah. And then, so I was like, I'm going to have to ask Talita, our cleaner, to help me. Because she speaks minimal English, Rob.
Where's Talita from?
Brazil.
Brazil. Right, Portuguese.
Well, normally we use Google Translate on our phones.
Right, okay.
To communicate, so...
Oh, no.
So... But she's watched the whole thing unfold, so she knows what I'm going to ask.
Yeah. It doesn't take a genius to work it. You don't need a... So what did you write in Google Translate?
No, I didn't. I said, could you help me catch the cat?
In English?
Yeah, but she knows the word cat.
No, I'm not criticising. But
and also, she's just watching me trying to catch the cat, so she's not going to go, what do you mean? So, anyway... Basically, then, me and Talita are kind of chasing this cat around two on one, unable to... You know, defenders, it's all about communication, but we can't communicate our move.
What you want to say is, you hang at the end of the sofa, yeah, I'll flush the cat out, and then you grab it. It's all about communication. So how did you and Talita get on?
How do we get on? We got the cat. We got the cat.
Who grabbed the cat?
Me. I got it.
So was she flushing?
Well, no, the vet was flushing. That's how that works.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that is lovely, lovely stuff.
Yeah. Oh. But anyway, so then the cat pissed on me through fear when I got it. Oh, it was a nightmare.
Through fear?
Well, because she hates that box.
Oh, she doesn't like going in there. It's annoying, isn't it, cats and dogs?
I love the cat.
Do you love the cat?
I like having cats.
Okay, you said you love the cats, but you like them, so you don't love them.
I do, actually, because when it looked like she was going to die, I was absolutely gutted.
Yes, but when you're on your hands and knees with Talita, part of you thinking, how much longer we got to do this for?
Well, part of me is thinking, this is basically Rose's cat. Why are me and Talita doing this?
Where had Rose gone?
She's gone to do drop-off, and then she's gone to the gym.
Right, okay.
There we go. How's your week been?
My daughter says yard instead of garden, and I hate it. But I don't want to feel like an old man. Dad, well, yard. When can we go and play in the yard?
What is she, an American?
She's been watching Big City Greens. You ever seen that?
No.
It's like a kids thing, but it's like these sort of like country American people move to the city.
Oh, right. Oh,
and they're
right.
Like, we're in the yard, meh. You know, that was a terrible impression.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, what I've been up to. So I've realised I do something. Do you ever do this? Say we're talking about kidney flushing. I would sometimes spell flushing in my head, like F-L-U-S-H-I-N-G, like over and over again. And I can see the letters almost like it's subtitles.
Right. Oh, that's interesting.
Do you do that?
No,
Lou doesn't either.
So when you're talking to me, you're doing that in your head.
Yeah, so your head.
That's
so H E A.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I wonder what that is.
Not always, but sometimes, or I'll think if I'm driving along, I'm thinking like, oh, you know, kitchen. Oh, I need to sort the kitchen out, and I'll be driving. Then after that thought, it'll be like K-I-T-C-H-E-N.
Wow. Please write in and tell us what that is, people,
I think it's called ticker taping, but I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a dyslexic thing or an ADHD. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But
ADHD,
or it's just
ADHD,
a quirk.
Do you do that one?
No, it's not always. It's not every word, but sometimes I will just get in I find myself in a bit of a loop doing it.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think it's called ticker taping.
Did you do it during the flushing? But does it affect
not always,
your concentration?
No. I'm constantly thinking of something all the time. So that's what I have to do is try, when I try and do like breathing and meditating, try and not think.
Right, yeah.
But my brain's constantly whirring, like, and it's not always negative stuff or bad stuff. It'll be like, so for example, I'll I'll see like an old bloke walking into a bank, which I saw the other day, and he looked like he had like a gun in his bag, because I thought, that'd be quite funny, wouldn't it, if like an old bank robber that keeps trying to rob banks, but he's so old and he can't do it anymore, just keeps doing it wrong to the point no one actually thinks he's robbing a bank. And then I've written like a sitcom or a film in my head about it.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But yeah, then, yeah, so it's constantly worrying, but then I do that spelling out of stuff. But I don't really know what that is, to be honest.
That's interesting. I find that fascinating that you do that. Please, I'd want to know more about that from our listeners, please.
I don't know what that. I'm thinking about doing a TV show called "What Is Wrong with Rob Beckett?" Because there's definitely something, and I think it'll be quite good to nail it down.
I would watch.
Yeah, I mean, just going me walking into a doctor's and go, look, I'm not quite right. There's something going on here. I don't know.
You don't want to lose it, do you? Like, do you know what I mean? It's what makes you.
Yeah, of course. And it's a blurring of what's personality and quirks, and then what is an actual sort of medical condition or a condition that your life would be easier if you didn't have that. But it's all a big mix. I'm not looking. Actually, but I definitely feel like there's a few things that have probably got a name that I have. You know what I mean? But maybe I just thought
it was being chirpy, but it's not. There's more going on.
There's a lot going on. A lot going on in there. Busy old brain. Oh, then I went shopping with the kids, right? And they're quite delicate about this, right? So the kids, if we buy them clothes now, they refuse to wear them, right? Because they're like, I don't like that. Because basically we buy like nice pastel stuff they look cute in. And they all want like garish bright clothes.
Yeah.
So they had some money on their little cards. They've got some like cards, and they wanted to buy perfume, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
So we went into Body Shop, and they ended buying. I literally went into Body Shop with a 7-year-old and 5-year-old and said, "Hello, my daughters want to buy perfume. Please, can you help?" Because, like, what? Well, kids don't need perfume, and I don't want them to start getting like. Also, it's expensive perfume. Luckily, they had these little like vegan, fruity like body sprays that aren't sort of. Yeah. They're quite like it's not. Chemically and stuff like that. They bought a grapefruit one and a strawberry one. Anyway, they loved it, so I had the perfume one. And then we went clothes shopping because me and Lou said, look, they're not wearing the clothes, so why don't we take them and let them choose?
Yeah.
The worst mistake we've ever made in our life.
Really?
The outfits they come back with, and personally, I quite like Next. I think Next do really good clothes and a good range not too pricey. Primark stresses me out, but they do good bits and Lugos in there, but I get quite stressed going in. But we went in Zara, because Zara's quite nice. Quite expensive, Zara. But some of the people that go in there dress in a way that me and Lou would never dress. I'd say 80% of the people in Bluewater that go in there for like little bits and bobs are just sort of like quite run-of-the-mill, quite normal. There's a 20%, which are basically teenage girls that are about 12, that go in with no clothes on and more makeup on than if they were entering the Love Island villa.
All right, Grandad, calm down.
No. This is not... This is not granddad. This is, I'm talking thick makeup. However, that group of girls go in there a lot of shopping, so all the clothes are crop tops, short little jean skirts, little shorts. But my kids now are in the 7 to 13 bracket.
Oh, no.
They're not in little kids. So my 5-year-old daughter picked up a pink crop top, quite low cut, with a pair of... flares. And she's 5. I can't dress her in that, Josh. And then she started having a meltdown because we wouldn't buy it and it was supposed to be their choice. And now me and Lou are basically, we are holding outfits that if they walked into the Love Island villa, people would go, oh, it's a bit short, isn't it? I know they're the bombshell, but it's a bit short. It was a complete disaster. So then what we did was buy the clothes, hoping that they'd forget they exist. Yeah. Leave them in the bag in the boot so that next time we go back, I can return them and get the money back. Because I can't dress my daughter in them.
Have they forgotten
if
they
I
exist?
Dressed my daughters in the clothes they picked, Josh, and they came to your party, you would say, what's happening? It's not fancy dress. Is everything okay?
Yeah.
So the clothes are in the bag and we're taking them back next week. So the plan now is me and Lou are going to find clothes and put them in the basket on an online shop. And ask them to pick out of our shortlisted items.
Oh,
that's the future. Until as long as we can get away with that.
Yeah. Oh, my word. This is only going one way. Anyway. 5 years' time.
Right, should we bring on our guest? Yeah. Because I need to lie down.
Yeah, JB from JLS and, of course, down on the farm.
Lou's favourite member of JLS. She loves this guy. JB, two kids and a farm. What a man.
JB, hello. How are you?
Hello. I'm very well, thanks. All the better for seeing you, lads.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah. Well, we're very excited by this. Do you want to go first as to why you're excited, Rob, and then I'll say why I'm excited?
Well, I think you're more excited than me, not to go in hard on you, JB, but my wife is obsessed with JLS to the point where this is quite problematic for me, because when I said I'll speak to you, she screamed a way I've not heard her ever scream, like she was 17 again, going, oh my God, JB, he's my favourite, like a way that a child would say about you. And I remember I got caught in about 2 hours worth of traffic picking her up from a JLS concert years ago. So it's difficult for me because you're a good guy. I'm very happy you're doing this, but your success has impacted me in negative ways in the past. But hopefully we can move on through this, as Josh also is a huge fan of your second career, as it was. So I think we can get through that pain, Josh, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah. All I'm going to say is I love Down on the Farm.
He's obsessed with it.
Love it. So who's... You happy Rob's wife is a fan of you, or that I'm a fan of you? What's your preferred?
I mean, I'll take them both. Of course, like you say, Rob, I can understand. Mm. I've had lots of reports of people and boyfriends and husbands who've had similar, let's say, challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should have just come to the show. You should have just come to
the
show.
She'd rather be married to you. That's the elephant in the room here. She'd rather be married to you. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's all right. You don't have to worry because I'm married as well. So it's all good. I'm off the table.
Right, okay, good. Okay, that's good. Yeah. We can move on now. There's no threat there now.
Is your wife a fan of Rob Beckett?
Yeah, she is. Like, we sat down and we've watched a few of your bits, to be fair, Rob.
Well, that's helping.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I can't quite say that she's your biggest fan.
Let's move on from this rivalry now and let's talk about the kids. Yeah. How many kids you got, JB, for the listeners? What's the setup at home?
I've got two. So I've got a boy who's 8, Ace. Obviously, he's the first. And then I've got Kiara, who's 4, a little princess. She's brilliant. She's good fun. She's my youngest. And yeah, we've just got 2, one of each.
And you live on an actual farm, don't you?
Yeah.
You live on a working farm, not to take it back to the farm straight away. So did you move out there because of your family, or how did that come about?
Yeah, so I mean, just to give you a little bit of background, I've grown up really in South London pretty much most of my life.
Whereabouts, JB?
Well, so when I was about 4, I used to live in I lived in the Caribbean for a little while because my mum and dad used to work. I'm actually born here, but they worked out in Antigua until I was about 3 or 4. And then we moved here again. Well, they moved here for work. And I went to primary school in Tulse Hill.
Oh, that's just around the corner. This is getting worse. Lou might bump into it.
So that was my old stomping ground. And then...
Right. Oh, where are you now?
When I was about 13, we moved to Croydon. So South Croydon.
Okay, that's closer.
Yeah, we were there till I was about 24?
Yeah.
And then, we moved out to the farm. So we've been there 13 years now, coming up.
Nice.
Do your kids love the farm?
Yeah. Do you know what? For me, just to, as I say, paint that picture... It was before we had kids, but we were definitely in that phase of, we're looking to get married. Yeah. We're obviously looking to move in together and so on. And like, what kind of lifestyle did we want to have for ourselves and for our future and for our family? And at the time, I was so busy with JLS, obviously, as you can imagine, touring a bit like, with you, Rob, and, you're away and, you've got lots going on and, lots of projects, lots of TV work, everything's, happening. And as you can imagine, didn't get many days off. So for me, being able to have like that 1 or 2 days in a 3-4 month period where you actually could do nothing, it's all about being outdoors in the countryside, being able to go for walks. We had a dog at the time and take our dog for walks, stuff like that. So that kind of became the foundation for it. And then when I was about we had Ace, that's when we were approached by Down on the Farm. And I'd actually had the farm set up for a couple of years by that point. So we had like pigs on site, we had turkeys and stuff, which we still do commercially. And effectively, it was just a case of, how can we make this space that we've had? We've got about 15 acres here, useful, long story short. And I spoke to previous owners and I did a bit of research on the area and, on soil types and all that interesting stuff. And
you're in it hardcore. This isn't just like a couple of animals. You are on soil types. This is unbelievable.
You never believe just how much difference it makes. Clay soil, And
very clayey. Where are you, Kent? Very clayey in Kent.
Yeah, we're in Kent, yeah.
You're in Kent? Oh,
here we are.
Oh, Rob.
We're going to be neighbours.
Down the road. But yeah, do you know what? So obviously, you know, there was a lot of research to be done, and not really coming from a farming background, it was a massive step. But, you know, as I say, I was always incredibly passionate about it. And then when Down on the Farm came along, and obviously then Ace came along around about a similar time, and, you know, then all of a sudden it became less about me and then more about the next generation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, as I say, for me, it's such an incredible industry to be able to support. You know, we don't have the biggest farm in the world, but, you know, we have a bigger voice than most farmers, you know? And so for me, it's always been, I've been very passionate about utilizing that voice in any way that I possibly can and being able to shine a light on, as I say, what I think is a fantastic industry.
And do you think Lou would be good on a farm, Rob?
Let's move away from Lou. What about Jeremy Clarkson? What do you think about him? Do you think his planning permission should have got put through?
I know. To be fair, Jeremy's been asked a lot of questions. And, I mean, he's absolutely adored by the farming community.
Yeah.
But he asked a lot of very important questions. You know, and there's certain things where you just think, why is it not like that? You know, and often it takes someone who's outside of that industry, who hasn't grown up in it, who isn't just doing it the way things have always been done, to pose those questions.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, and similarly for me, you know, being able to see shows on television, whether it's streaming sites, whether it's documentaries, whatever it might be, somewhere where it's been accessed by mainstream media is really, really important. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not just for people to appreciate sort of food and where it comes from. You know, one of the things that I saw through the lockdown was, you know, all of a sudden our appreciation for food and how it gets to our plates completely changed. When we walked into the supermarket and we couldn't get eggs and we couldn't get flour, and we were like, hold on a second, we were about to bake, you know, our 50th batch of muffins and there's nothing that we can't use. You know what I mean? We can't use any flour.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for me, just being able to have that conversation in a place that's not, you know, a political debate or, you know, on question time or whatever, it's brilliant. It's amazing. I'm a huge advocate for it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And I'm sure the kids absolutely love it. You know, they're perfect age with all the animals and being in the countryside. But you've travelled the world, you know, with JLS. You've been all over the place. You've lived in London and stuff like that. Are you worried that when they get to 16, 17, they're just going to be like, see you later. I'm going.
Well, I'm prepared for that, to be honest.
That's got to be the worry, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably Yeah. I've been prepared for that. But for me, like, it's about that mindset, you know, and it's like with anything. They don't necessarily need to go into the farming industry, but if they have an appreciation for it, they'll think differently. Do you know what I mean? And even now, you know, we talk about, you know, overproducing beef and cattle and the rise of veganism and all that sort of stuff. They're all good things. You know, it's not to say that everyone's all of a sudden going to become a vegan, but actually for me, there's value in balance. Do you know what I mean? And being able to have those things and people actually thinking consciously about, hold on a second, should I not have a couple of days in my week where I don't have any meat?
Yeah,
that's a good thing to do. Do you know what I mean? It's not a bad thing. And so for me, if my kids can grow up around that and grow up with a love of the countryside, grow up with a love of animals, grow up with a love of, you know, farms and farming and things that are really important for all of our futures, for me, that goes a long way. And whether they're involved in health, education, politics, arts, entertainment, whatever they end up doing as sort of that their main career, and I'm sure they'll go on and they'll be incredibly successful, I want them to be able to use that position in order to help our society. Do you know what I mean? Not just from what they do, but also from, you know, food is an incredibly important part of everyone's society because of how we can't live.
Do they know about where the meat comes from?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're young. And so did that freak them out? Did they still want to eat meat after, or did they not want to eat meat? Because when I was eating lamb once, I told my daughter where it came from and she was horrified with me and didn't speak to me for like 2 days. And she refuses to eat it.
I don't know. I mean, I've always grown up cooking with them. Like, I mean, Ace couldn't even walk, and I would, you know, have him sort of not obviously cooking with me, but, you know, have him in my arms and, you know, tasting a bit of pasta and telling me if it's cooked yet or whatever. I've always done that with them and told them where their food comes from. Bless Ace. I mean, he's been on the farm with me when we've been out there with the turkeys and, you know, lost, you know, 50 or 60 to the fox. And it's just...
Fucking big fox. One fox.
Yeah. It probably was more than one, but I mean...
I was going to say, that fox needs locking up. Done 50 turkeys.
Well, I mean, you can imagine what it's like around here.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I walked in and they were all outside the pen, which was good, but it was just a massacre.
Oh, God.
And there was nothing you can do about it. And if you leave it out, it just attracts more. So you've got to just deal with it as soon as it happened.
Oh my God.
So you and Ace were clearing it. Yeah, your 8-year-old was helping clear up.
He wasn't even eight. He was like 5. And it was right before school. And
oh my God.
Obviously, he wasn't picking them up. But, you know, I'd say to him, listen, just hold the bag there for me. Our daddy's got to go and do the thing. Like,
hold the bag.
I didn't have a choice because Chloe was away at the time. He didn't have Kiara. And I was looking after him, wasn't I? So I told Chloe, bless her, she didn't have a go at me, but
she wasn't happy.
But do you know what I mean? That's just part, you know, that was in the earlier days, you know,
that's
part of farm life. And it is tough, you know, and it is difficult. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I always try and, you know, use my voice as much as possible, because there'll be people who that 50 birds or whatever it might be is literally their profit wiped out for the year. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is the farm like, you know, your proper sort of business that's sort of like, you know, you're running it to earn a profit as a businessman and a farmer? Yeah. Or is it more of like a bit of fun and something to do? You know, you've earned so well from JLS and had such an amazing career. Is it like a bit of fun in retirement, as it were? Or is this a proper, I'm running this farm for a profit and want to build on it and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's run as a business and it has to turn a profit. Yeah. I mean, we've gone from, with our turkeys anyway, we've gone from having, I think, 50 or 60 we started with. And now we probably grow closer to 300. So it's grown over the years. It's been about, I think it's coming up to 9 or 10 years this year. You know, so it's grown year on year.
Yeah.
Got a great relationship with sort of local customers and stuff. And we've built a good customer base that people come back to us. And yeah, you know, for us, it's obviously, it's not my main source of income, but it's definitely run as a business. And it's something that we are looking to expand. And we've, you know, we tried to expand over the years as well.
And are the kids helping with that then? Is that sort of, you know, they come and do the jobs with you now?
Yeah, absolutely. Like my little girl, she absolutely loves the chickens. They're her thing. Yeah. I mean, now I can literally be like, okay, Kiara, you go and sort the chickens out. I'm going to go and sort this out. And
she's 4. what does sorting the chickens out mean? What's she got to do?
She'll go, she'll get all the feed.
If you said to me, Rob, sort the chickens out, I'd Google something and I'd panic.
She'll go and get the food for the chickens. So she's got a yellow bucket outside. She'll go and give them 2 scoops of corn, 2 scoops of pellets. Chuck that in. That's her favourite job. Then she'll go over to the chickens, basically go and check for eggs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give them their food, top up their water, and then basically say, Daddy, I'm done.
Amazing.
No, I'm still getting my 7-year-old water at the table. Your one's feeding the chicken.
Get this, Rob. She works in the abattoir as well.
Not quite. Probably would if it was up to her. She's definitely the boss, that one.
She's in charge.
She's going to manage something with the other, when she gets older.
And so are you on the farm feeding some chickens when you're taking calls about the JLS tour and stuff? You're like, yeah, I will go on tour, but first, you know, I've just got to deal with these turkeys and stuff. It's quite a kind of culture clash of a life, isn't it?
Well, funny enough, when we did the first, when we originally came back, I think it was 2019.
Yeah.
We did like a little sort of skit where each of us sort of took a call from each other and then was like, you know, basically said, yeah, we should do this. And it was obviously all building the anticipation and so on. And I was on the farm, so I did my bit on the farm, you know?
Yeah.
But, and for me, obviously, they are two very different industries, but actually there's lots of similarities, you know. They're both very, very tough industries. You know, there's lots of work involved with both. You know, for me, the difference is when I'm...
A lot of horse shit in both, right?
Well, do you know what? Those are the bits that...
Guys, right, guys?
...therapeutic, to be very honest with you.
I just high-fived myself there, Jamie. <Jamie. laughs>
But then, you know, one thing I love about being on a farm is that I'm based around home. You know, as much work as you have during the day or whatever, you're done sort of by 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock when it gets dark or starting to get dark and you're back home with the family. JLS, obviously, I love, you know, doing that and touring and being away with the family and stuff like that. But, you know, it can be tough, especially if you're away for long periods of time. And, you know, with the kids, you're missing on their, you know, school stuff and football stuff and this and that. But they're both lifestyles that I've grown up with, and they're both things that I enjoy, and they both make me. Do you know what I mean? And I wouldn't trade either of them, to be very honest with you.
Yeah.
And do the kids play well together? There's a 4-year age gap. Do they play all right, or is it a bit arguing? What's the setup? Because I didn't realise I'm quite lucky that my 2 girls play well.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's not always the case, is it?
I get a bit of both, to be honest. Like, they'll wake up one day and they'll be playing brilliantly with each other. They'll help each other out. Ace will run and, you know, make breakfast for Kiara. By breakfast, I mean like toast or cereal or whatever. She'll go and sort it all out and say, yeah, come, we'll do this. We'll go and get dressed for the day, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then you'll have days where, usually on the weekend, where they'll jump in bed with us, you know, before we have to get up for the day, and they'll be shouting and screaming at each other. But as I say, like my daughter, she's the fighter, so she will give as good as she gets, even though she's half his age.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, she literally just come up to me and she goes, "You want to fight?" And I was like, "Who are you talking to? Where did you even get that from?" But yeah, I mean, they're typical brother and sister, if I can say that. You know, they do get on, they do have a good relationship, but yeah, they're not short of their fights.
Well, how's your daughter going to feel though? Because you've written your first children's book. And it's called Ace and the Animal Heroes.
Yeah.
And it's out on the 27th of April, end of the month. You're going to have to write another one now. Or another series. Ace and the Animal Heroes feels like that's a series. And we follow Ace with his animals in numerous books. Your daughter's not going to be happy about this, is she?
Well, do you know what? Obviously, this has been an eight-year project, right? So yeah. I started it before Ace was... Well, just after Ace was born.
She will not give a shit about this, by the way.
No, wait. So what I did...
She'll go, halfway through that eight-year project, a child was born. And you had another 4 years...
No, but you're right. So what I had to do, I basically had to create a new character. And this is thanks to my editor, Carmen. She said, you know, we want to try and get another character in there. We want to try and add, you know, because I literally only had Ace as one of the main kids, or the only kid in it originally. And it's evolved over the years, as you can imagine. So then I thought, oh, this is the perfect time. So I did. I created the character called Bear, which is what we call Kiara, my daughter.
Right, okay, that worked, yeah.
And she's had full reign. So even with the illustrations, like deciding how she looked, what hair she had, all of that.
Right.
She had full reign. So she has created her own character within the book. Even though, you know, the book, the series is named after her.
Even though the book is called Ace. Just saying.
I'll tell you what, we'll see what she says at eight, and then maybe we can, I'll have a little word with Penguin again.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to her, the book being renamed hers for the next one, just to keep her happy.
Imagine how that would go down in the house.
And you drew on a lot of your family life about moving from city to the farm in the book.
Yeah.
Now, how honest were you about things that happened in the family life? Because that's a problem. If you involve family members, right, they're not always happy. Was that difficult, putting them in, or they're quite relaxed, your family?
Rob says, from bitter experience of doing this podcast.
I say to my mum and dad, it's always true. I never put in a lie.
Do you know what? So far... Because they haven't actually had a chance to read through it properly, they've only seen sort of little snippets as I've gone throughout the time. So everyone's okay so far. There's been no major issues.
Right.
I have got a niece and nephew who are already on, you know, on the phone saying to me, "What's going on here?"
Are they in the book?
Not yet. Not in this book.
Right. You're going to have to draw the line at the niece and nephews because they'll be...
And that's the problem.
How many siblings have you got?
I've got one sibling.
That's the issue, isn't it? Because if it's one sibling, it's only the kids they produce that want to be. See, I've got four brothers, so if I put all the nieces and nephews in, it's too much going on. It's like Game of Thrones.
I'm trying to limit it to thanks and acknowledgements.
Yeah. Acknowledgements is just a get out. I love the acknowledgements bit. Two books we've done, and it's like the acknowledgements, all the people I forgot about when I was writing the book.
Special thanks to the 18-month-year-old nephew. I couldn't have wrote this book without you. Yeah.
And do you know what, JB? From my experience, none of your family are going to read it. They'll lie and pretend they have, so they won't even know. The way it works with the book is people go, "I love the book," and then you mention something from the book and they look blankly at you and you go, "You didn't read the book."
No.
Well, to be fair, my father-in-law, his name features in the book. We call him Gaga, or Ace calls him Gaga.
Yeah.
And he's really good. Like, he's the kind of person, and my mum as well, actually, that will read through the book and they'll say, "Oh, yeah, so I think you should change that. And actually, grammatically, this is incorrect. So it needs to be..." As I'm like, "Mum, I've got an editor for that. It's okay."
Oh, really? They're getting
involved. Those people, they sound like people after my own heart. I love someone that can spot a grammatical mistake. Thank you very much.
And what's funny is their birthdays are quite similar. So I think they're pretty much the same people, just on the other side of the family. But no, do you know what? Obviously, the family are incredibly supportive and always have been.
Yeah.
And obviously, they're excited about the book being out as well. And you know, being able to read it and share it with everybody. So, yeah.
I was going to say, what do they think of you moving to like a farm and having kids there and stuff like that, like away from, a bit further away from where your family are? Are they still like Croydon way?
Yeah. So I'm actually not too far from them. So from Chloe's mum and dad, I'm about 40 minutes. And then from my My side, I'm probably about 25 minutes. So it's not bad. It's actually probably happy medium. You know, when you, you know, you got grandparents close enough, but not right on your, you know what I mean, on the same road.
they can still do babysitting, but they can't pop in for a cup of tea.
You know what I mean?
When they babysit, do they have to do the chickens and the turkeys as well? So, you know, if you go away for a couple of nights and the grandparents are in, do they have to do the farm?
Yeah. So my mum now will do it. She'll do it. I try not to go away too long with her because she'll do a few days and then she's kind of like, I'm over it now. But all jokes aside, she's very, very helpful. And well, both, you know, both sides as well. You know, close mum and dad are incredibly helpful as well. And, you know, as I say, like we try and go away as a family at least once in a year, you know, which is just, you know, I think is necessary and healthy. And you know, we always have good support, as I say, locally as well.
If you are going away for a couple of nights, maybe it's like anniversary or something like that, and the kids are at home, the grandparents are around, say they get the kids up, get them off to school, right? What else is it they have to do when you're not there? Like, or do you get someone in to cover that? Because, like, I think that's the issue, isn't it? If you've got grandparents who can love the kids and then they've got to go out and do the turkeys.
I keep it simple. So basically, they need to make sure they're fed, make sure they're watered, and make sure there's no major issues. So no breaks in fences or, you know, any dramas like that.
Perimeter check.
Literally.
Walk the bounds, walk the 15-acre bounds.
And what are they feeding and watering? What's on the list of things to be fed and watered?
Children.
Obviously children, chickens, pigs, turkeys, primarily, cats, dog.
Whoa.
Right. That's
it. We've got two cats and Rose worries about going away with the two. We've got Pauline next door is excellent. Her kids love feeding the cats. Yeah. But Rose is like, we can't go away for too long because the cats will miss us.
Oh, fuck a cat. Well, cats don't give a shit. Fuck the cats. She cares about the cats.
She cares about the
cats. Don't care. Cats will survive on their own. They're all right.
Yeah, I mean, our cats are pretty much feral.
Yeah. Well, one of our cats is called Beryl. That's close to feral. But I don't really give them much affection. And Rose does. And they much prefer her. So they do actually care about Rose. They couldn't give a fuck about me.
Right.
I can't believe it, really.
You know what? So my relationship with cats hasn't always been as positive as my wife, shall we say. However...
You hate cats.
We rescued...
You hate cats. Let's just say it. Just say it, JB. You hate cats. You hate your cats.
Past tense. Hated. Not anymore.
All right, okay.
Here he is. The grammar runs in the family. Past tense.
This guy's a writer now. Forget the farm. This guy's all over it.
You're right. Listen. So we rescued two cats. And initially, my intention that they'd be farm cats, right? We had a massive rat problem and I didn't want to do this and do that and poison and whatever else. And it didn't feel right to me, to be very honest with you.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, no, absolutely not. But it was a massive issue, like biting through bins and eating food and all that sort of stuff, right? So I rescued two cats, but they were both feral cats. And obviously we needed them to hunt and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And so we had them on the farm. And when I say feral, I mean, I couldn't put my hand in the cage to stroke any of them.
You want cats that have done time if their job is killing rats. That's what you need. You need prison cats.
They've done plenty of time. Anyway, obviously, them being on the farm, me feeding them every day, giving them water every day, seeing them every day. We had Ace by this point, and one of them was named Phantom. We called him Phantom because we literally never, ever saw him. If I went down there, he would go in the opposite direction. Gone. See you later. I wouldn't see him for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Anyway, over about 6 to 9 months, all of a sudden, he started getting a bit closer. And started coming over. And I was still quite scared, to be honest. I put my hands up because in the beginning, I couldn't give him food in his crate. Literally couldn't put my hand in there because I was afraid I'd get swiped.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's like, you know, cozying up to my leg, coming up to say hi. And bearing in mind, now we've got a toddler running around. So Ace is there. And Ace has no experience with any sort of animal other than what we've introduced him to. All obviously very above board, very, very nice and gentle and brilliant and whatever else. Anyway, so this cat now starts coming up to Ace. So we're like freaking out, thinking, oh no, we're going to have to grab the cat if it does anything, whatever else, thinking the worst. And I promise you, that year of food, water, and a little bit of affection changed Phantom from being pretty much wild and feral. Like, Ace could call him and he'd come.
Oh, really?
Ace could tell him to jump up on the bonnet of his like little electric vehicle and he'd jump up on it and they'd drive around the garden.
Amazing.
And I would never have believed it if he told me it. So that's why it's past tense. And now I've got
appreciation. You like cats now?
Yeah, the cats, for sure.
So Are we going to gloss over that your son drives at the age of eight? That's a hell of a...
We live on a farm. What do you expect?
Lawless. You can do what they want.
All the kids at school who were farmers when I was growing up in Devon, they'd all pass their test within like a week of turning 17 because they'd just been driving their whole teenage years around the farm.
Literally.
Have you put him behind the wheel of a car? Because you can, can't you?
He's not quite tall enough, I don't think, yet. But yeah, I would.
Yeah.
He does all the driving on the tractor with me.
Does he?
He'll sit on my lap, obviously, but he'll do all the thing. I'm like, okay, you think you're going to make that turn? I better reconsider, and then we'll reverse a bit, and then we'll go around. But yeah, do you know what I mean? I think for me, those are some of the memories that you create and that are so unique to that lifestyle, do you know what I mean? And it's something that they look back with fondness, I find. You know, any like you say, anybody that I know who's like grown up with a farm or had any experience like with farming or the outdoors or whatever, it's such an incredible memory that sticks with them.
I mean as I say for me I'd
love my kids to be able to hold on to those memories as they get older as well.
Do they watch Down on the Farm?
They do, yeah. Massive fans.
Do they? Yeah, of course they do. It's brilliant. Love
yeah
But have they come and seen you, like, you know, doing your other career, JLS, like, performing? Have they been to the gigs?
Yeah. So
I was talking about Down on the Farm, Rob.
I know, but I was also...
You just moved it straight on, mate. This is what I've been looking forward to all day.
Because what do they prefer, Down on the Farm or your gigs?
Oh, don't pretend you care about Down on the Farm, Rob. You're just interested in JLS.
To be honest, a bit of both. I mean...
Have they been to the gigs?
The first time they went to a concert was our show on the last tour.
Oh, was it?
Which was incredible. Amazing. And they were fully involved. They had all the lights and whatever else, all the merch. They had, you know, all their little hoodies and whatever else. And we ended up getting pretty much all the JLS kids together, came on stage with us, you know. So, those are pretty special moments. And my daughter in particular, she absolutely loved it. Like, she's the little performer. So, you know, she's already said, Daddy, every time we drive past the O2, she's like, Daddy, when can we go to the O2? I'm like, anytime we want, you know, a bit of Five Guys or whatever. We can, you know, go hang out, a bit of soccer, social, football, whatever. She's like, no, you need to sing. I'm like, you can't just walk up to the O2 and do that. I have to organise that. So she's pleased with going back on tour. So she's excited about that. But then, you know, as I say, both of them, like, they come to work with me sometime, not all the time, less now, obviously, because they've got their own little agendas and, you know, own schedules and stuff. But yeah, you know, they come to work with me when I'm filming or whatever I'm up to. Obviously, they're on the farm with me as well from time to time. So yeah, you know, they do both. And, you know, I don't think they know any differently. They've just grown up with both. So it's just part of what they do.
What was it like having your kids at the gig? You're not like beforehand, like looking after them, just about to go on stage at the O2, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Were they like backstage with you?
Yeah, they're backstage. My daughter walks me to stage.
Does she?
Yeah. She holds my hand and walks me to stage.
Were they all right just walking out on stage at the O2? Because I know I'm shitting myself.
She was more. My little boy, actually, funnily enough, I mean, he's the one who's done most. Like, he's done acting and modelling and all sorts. But I think, you know, it's still 15, 16,000 people at the O2, isn't it? Yeah. So I think it was a big deal. And he's
overwhelming.
Yeah, he's one of the oldest. So I think there's that added, you know, sort of sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
Whereas the younger are just still tearing around. You know, they don't care if they go and pull down one of the lights, do they?
No.
They're just... there to have fun. So
I imagine they got cheered, though. When I brought my daughter on stage in front of 700 people in Bromley, she got heckled.
Really?
They went, tell us a joke. I was like, mate, she's four. Just let her get this joke out and let's move on.
Oh, dear.
So just your son model, you said?
Yeah. Well, to be fair, they've both done a few bits and pieces. But yeah, my little boy, well, he started about 18 months, 2 years.
Did he? So how do you get into child modelling?
To be fair, we've got a friend who's in PR. So she looks after loads of different children's brands and is obviously a great friend of ours. And she just asked him to come and be involved in something that she was doing, like a sort of press day.
Yeah.
So that was his first job, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
But then, since then he's worked with, you know, a couple of sort of agencies. And my wife, Chloe, she was a professional dancer. So she's got, you know, lots of links to agents and stuff like that. And yeah, over the years, he's been involved in, you know, BBC dramas, and he did Grantia's Star.
Oh, wow.
They both did something actually together in the lockdown, a drama called Chloe. But yeah, so they both did that. And you know, he does stuff on Marks and Spencer's as well. Yeah, he does loads, to be fair.
Amazing.
Do you get, obviously, because they get paid like pretty well sometimes, those kind of things. Does that go in a little like savings account for him for when he's older?
Yeah. So for both of them.
Or do you just stick it on like the holiday this year and go, come on, mate.
No. So
you're on holiday, you got to pay for it.
We do a little thing with him whereby if he's, whatever he's done, you know, and we sort of like add it all up because he's old enough to do that now.
Yeah.
We'll add it all up and we'll just say to him, right, you can buy one thing for yourself whatever it is.
Yeah.
And usually we do that around New Year when all the sales and stuff come in, so you can buy one thing for yourself because you've, you know, you've worked really hard this year. And that's something that I, you know, I grew up doing, and both, you know, my wife as well, like her family grew up doing as well. You know, you work hard and then you can treat yourself, you know. And obviously it's important to teach him about money and stuff, but it's also like, it's funny because he goes from Christmas saying, I want a PS5, I want this, I want that, so all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, you can get that if you want with your own money. And it's like, oh no, actually, maybe I'll get a water bottle. So no, but you know, he loves it, and you know, obviously we just kind of support him as he's going through it. He does lots of football as well, so you know, he's a busy old boy. But
how do kids pay tax? If you're 18 months, you've done a modelling shoot.
Obviously they get their allowance, don't they? But I don't know what it is. If you, I don't know, just say you were like, I don't know, Dakota Fanning or someone in a proper Hollywood movie. How does it work?
Yeah, Radcliffe must have had a fucking massive tax bill after Harry Potter.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, has he got a limited company at the age of 12?
I have no idea. I don't know how it works, but I think they can pay tax. So, yeah, I need to... He's not earned that much just yet, but I need to...
We know exactly... As soon as you finish this, you're going to be Googling that in a panic.
Literally.
When he goes on set, are you... How does it work? Do you, one of you accompany him on set, or does it... Because they're not allowed to, like, work long hours and stuff, are they, kids? There's, like, rules around that.
Yeah, no, there's definitely rules around it. My wife is a guru with that. She handles all of that. That's her domain. I've done a few bits and pieces, always gone together, but usually she'll sort of manage that. And so what you can do is you can be a licensed chaperone. So you can go as a parent, but officially be sort of, you know, keep their hours and, you know, log all their data and stuff like that. And there are strict hours. So, like, we did a show last year together as a family called Cooking with the Gills, and literally all four of us were, you know, involved in it. And my daughter at the time was only three. So it was a bit tough with her, just sort of making sure she had the right hours and stuff like that. And of course they wanted both kids to be involved in it, and she could only do like 3 hours or 2 hours or something like that. So basically they had to, like, literally half an hour cooking, right, you're off set, da, 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 and she could only be on set for a number of hours. Ace wasn't too bad, and he's getting to that age now where actually I think his hours can extend, and he's not quite on the same hours as an adult, but, you know, can do a full day.
Yeah,
you know, it's
just... Kids do have to pay tax, by the way, JB, just so you know.
Do they?
They do have to pay tax, but they get a tax-free allowance, like adults, up to 12 grand, something like 12,570. So if they earn more over that, so Radcliffe would have to pay tax on his Harry Potter dollar. I'm sure he got paid more than that. But you don't have to pay national insurance until you're 16.
Okay.
Good to know.
That's all right. I love that.
See, this podcast is boring sometimes. Sometimes. We can't help the fact it's boring.
Well, I learned something just then, and I appreciate that, that's for sure.
Yeah, I didn't want JB to be brought down by the tax man from coming on our podcast.
Yeah, Rob, Google whether JB's son or JB will be the one that goes to prison. That's the question.
Imagine young offenders, what are you in for? Yeah, a bit of white collar stuff. I'm sure the tax office understands it's a grey area with children earning money, so I'm sure they'll be very understanding.
Prison for geniuses.
On Down on the Farm.
Yeah. He loves it.
There's other kids. You have kids on that, right?
Yes.
What's that like working with them? Are they ever annoying?
For the most part.
For the most part. Let's not talk about the most part then. Which one's annoying?
No. They're not annoying. No one's
annoying. They're like cats. After a while, you get used to
it. No one's annoying. It's just that obviously you can imagine the attention span of a child is generally speaking shorter than for an adult.
Yeah.
And with filming, as I'm sure you guys will appreciate and understand, when you've got four cameras on something, it's great. And you can do it once and it's done. Everything's in the bag. When you got to do it 3, 4, 5 times, but you only have one camera, it's a bit of a different story. And bless these kids, sometimes they just have enough. They don't want to do it 4 times.
Yeah.
They want to do it once. And they're literally just like, but I just said that. And then you ask them, so what's your favourite fruit? And they say cherries, because it's about cherries that day. And then you say the 4th time, what's your favourite fruit? Strawberries. And you're just like, no, you need to say cherries.
Oh, it must be so hard.
But it's strawberry. And then you ask again, pineapple. And that's when you're just like, you need to have it on the first one.
Well, I think kids express what adults feel, but say it out loud.
Yeah.
Because when you're, you know, you're probably sitting there going, oh, I don't really want to have to say cherries again, but you do it because you're a professional, you're at work. But a kid goes, I don't want to do this. This shit's boring now.
Literally. And to be fair, I mean, there's some incredible kids and being involved in a show. Like, I had one little boy went to his family's farm. So it wasn't, it's his uncle, I think, or his aunt. And he was always there. And he, you know, we were doing this thing and it was in the heat of summer and I wasn't thinking straight. So I kept fluffing all my lines, all my stuff that I had to say. And he, you know, that third or fourth time that I did it, he just went, oh my days, it's da 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 da. Can you just get it right? I'm done. You do my job. You might as well get paid the big bucks. And we'll call it a day. Brilliant.
But then you reported into the HMRC about his tax, so you won that one.
But it's stuff like that, you know, that sticks with you. And, you know, they say don't work with animals and children. I love working with both.
Yeah, you've hit the double, haven't you? Animals and children. Because I did a filming with my dog for Crufts and it was carnage.
Yeah.
Filming with a dog. Also, it's not the dog. The cameraman at one point, no, the director said, yeah, Rob, can you reposition Fred? He's just in the back of his head. I went, no, it's a dog. It will move. He will stand and sit however he
That's
wants.
That's exactly it.
Do you ever hang out with the other CBBC or CBBC presenters?
Sometimes.
Do you ever see them?
I don't see them often, but yeah, obviously, you know.
Who have you met? Andy?
Yeah. Well, obviously, I've met them all. Yeah. I've been to the Panto, CBBC Panto.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So they've seen them there. And we went to, we did like the CBBC Big Day Out. You know, the Big Days Out? Sort of the
Yeah.
I've been to that with the kids as well. And they did like an opening for... At Alton Towers, haven't they got like a CBeebies Land or CBeebies World?
Yeah, they have, yeah.
I'm going there soon.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Nice.
For like, well, Kiara, she's four, she'd love it. She's just perfect for their age, sort of 3-4. And then, yeah, so we went to that. So like Kat was there and Kat's left now. She had a few babies. Say hey.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
Kiara.
Hello.
But yeah, Kat was there and, you know, it's a lot of the presenters and stuff and it was good fun.
Oh, that's nice.
The book, just another plug for the book, is out 27th of April.
Yeah.
Ace.
I love the way she just did.
And the
just
animals.
For people that aren't watching, obviously aren't watching because it's a podcast, your daughter just disappeared out of the screen like she was doing that thing where you pretend you're in a lift. She just kind of, did she fall off the chair?
No, my kids are well trained. They know if I'm on a call, they need to be quiet. Just like snuck in.
Oh, bless her.
Think I'm to the JLS boys or something, but she tried to make herself scarce.
Well, you forget sometimes when it's Easter holidays when you book stuff in and you go, okay, there'll be children in the house then and they're all screaming and you're like, I need to do this.
My little boy just now, when I said to you that he can buy something, you know, once a year, he can buy something, shit, and I'm like, football cards! And I'm like, no, that's every month you buy those.
Well, good luck with the book Ace and the Animal Heroes, out the 27th of April, and I look forward to the new series involving your daughter's name. Yes. To keep her happy.
Yeah, I've got to get to work now. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, exactly. Good luck with it, mate.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Oh, the final question. We didn't ask the final question, Josh.
Oh, final question.
Yeah, go on.
Who is the member of JLS you like the least? No, the final question is, what one... You're better asking the final question, Rob. I always mess it up. But here we go. What one thing does your wife do, parenting-wise, that you're like, that is just unbelievable, I couldn't do that myself? And what one thing does she do as a parent that really annoys you, but you haven't brought it up with her? But if she were to listen to this, it's a good way of her finding out.
She's in the room, so she's already listening. The one thing that she does that I couldn't do is manage everything. I don't understand how she gets everything done when she's by herself. Because as you can imagine, I travel a lot and she just makes it work. And then I come home and she goes to work or does, you know, a few meetings or she's out for the day or even overnight. And, you know, obviously, like, you know, I'm hands on and I do it and, you know, it gets done. But I don't run it like she runs it, and I don't know how she does it. Yeah. Unbelievable. Are you talking about parenting? One thing that
or you can just go about her personality if you want. That's up to you.
If you just want to take her down as a human being, you're more than welcome.
That's on you, mate.
I'm definitely not taking her down as a human being because she's my wife. I like to say it that way. Parenting that I don't get.
That sort of frustrates you a bit. You don't really agree with the way she does it. It's very difficult when you're staring at the person you're talking about, but this is actually giving an extra layer.
She's laughing at me now.
Sits in on podcast records to make sure what you say is correct.
One thing that really frustrates me is Oh, that's it. I've got it.
You're so pleased about it.
Our daughter, she's getting out of it now. But obviously, our daughter was, you know, just going through that phase where, you know, an hour or two long journey is a long time. So we still have a potty. She'll yeah. take it with us every now and again, have to use it. And my wife insists, obviously, if it's a number two, yeah, you keep that till you can get to a toilet and dispose
yeah.
appropriately. If it's a number one, and we're on the, I don't know, the side of the motorway somewhere, and there's grass and fields and whatever, I'm like, why are you keeping a souvenir of our daughter's wee? Empty it. Just chuck it out. Yeah. I never understand. And then you get it in the car, and I'm just yeah. like, I'm chucking it about, obviously, as you do, emptying all the stuff, and I'm just like, ah, oh, it's full of wee.
Little potty.
That's the one thing that definitely...
Fair enough. It's a good
it
one.
It was worth it. It was good.
Cheers, JB. Good luck with the book, mate.
Good luck with the book and the tour.
No worries. Thank you so much.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
JB there. Oh, well, there we go. That shows our skills, Rob. JB there.
JB, yes, we're harmonising.
Yeah.
Is that harmonising? JB from JLS.
Oh, I didn't ask you what JLS stands for. I could Google it.
Just a little soul.
Right. Do you want to know what JLS stands for to end the episode?
Go on.
What does JLS stand for?
Seamless. Smooth, that was.
Oh. Jack the Lad Swing.
The worst name in history.
I was not expecting that.
That, and I love the JLS lads, yeah. is the shittest that Jack the Lad Swing.
Yeah.
But then it shouldn't be JTLS.
Oh, wow. They were originally called UFO. Do you want to know what that stands for?
No.
They're originally called UFO, which stood for Unique, Famous, Outrageous.
Oh. That is very mid-naught, isn't it?
Yeah.
They actually, I remember they turned up as a band already, didn't they?
They must be one of the most successful people on X Factor, mustn't they?
Yeah, but they weren't put together. They turned up in like little pastel T-shirts, didn't they?
Yeah.
They're actually pretty good, JLS.
Yeah, they are. They didn't win.
They didn't win.
They lost.
But yeah, I remember when they first come on, look at
who do they lose to, Rob?
No idea.
Alexandra Burke.
Burkey.
Burkey.
Anyway, Josh, I'll see you on Tuesday.
See you on Tuesday.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.